Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Cooking in Real Time podcast. My name is Zora O'Neill, and this week I'm here to give you a little recipe decoder about the term butter. A lot of recipes specify unsalted or salted butter, usually unsalted, and I'm here to tell you that this is a totally pointless detail. Which kind of butter you use in a recipe, it doesn't make a huge difference. And you should certainly never go racing to the store to buy unsalted butter just because a recipe says so and all you happen to have is the salted kind. Restaurant chefs who write most cookbooks these days are just in the habit of using unsalted butter. I mean, it's just a habit, but it also allows much more precise control of how much salt is in a given recipe. Salted butter varies a lot in saltiness. So if you're making the same dish over and over and over again, you want to make sure you'll be getting the same results each and every time. This is crucial for restaurants. So in their case, it's a lot easier to start with zero salt coming from your butter and work your way up from there. Also, by the way, restaurants typically use a ton more butter in their recipes than you would feel comfortable using at home. This is part of the reason restaurant food can taste so amazing. So if you're making a side dish of, say, fresh green snap peas, and it happens to have loads of butter, there's a slim chance you might oversalt the peas if they're swimming in salted butter. But the other reason restaurant food tastes so good is loads of salt, so it's a very slim chance. Bakers also prefer unsalted because, again, you can control the exact amount of salt in a recipe, and in baking, precision really matters. And incidentally, you might not think salt has a place in sweet recipes, but in fact, gives this really essential zing to pretty much every baked sweet treat. Anyway, that's the professional realm. At home, where you're hopefully not cooking the same thing 20 times a night, every night, the amount of salt in a dish coming from salted butter is something you can just taste for right before you finish a dish. And even with the saltiest of butters, you won't wind up over-salting a dish. The reason salt is added to butter is that salt is a natural preservative. Unsalted butter is prone to spoiling more quickly, and so you don't want to let it sit out in a butter dish for a day, for instance. Maybe a day is fine, but 2 days, it'll probably start to taste rancid. And this can also happen at the grocery store before you even buy the butter. If there's not huge turnover in the unsalted butter, and you forget to check the date, or the grocer is not really on the ball, you might wind up with a pound of really nasty, rancid stuff when you get home. It's rare, but it happens. It seemed to happen a lot when I was a kid, but maybe it's because I grew up in the Wild West in New Mexico and it was hot. We didn't have state-of-the-art refrigeration technology then in the 1970s, but I do remember this happening a number of times when I was a kid, so we became an officially all-salted butter household after we had to return some nasty butter to the supermarket one too many times. So obviously, my bias is towards salted butter. Unsalted butter enthusiasts will point out that unsalted butter is usually fresher. They're right. Salted butter has a longer shelf life due to the salt, and I don't know for sure, but it probably gets stamped with a later sell-by date than unsalted butter does. So if you buy salted butter, it may very well have come from the cow a week or two longer ago than the unsalted butter on the shelf next to it. But I'm not telling you which kind, salted or unsalted, to buy. That's totally up to you, but you should know the merits of each one, and always check your dish, your finished dish, for salt before you serve it. And certainly don't think you have to adhere to a recipe when it specifies a certain type of butter. Speaking of types of butter, you can now get special premium butters. The main brand you'll see in supermarkets now is Plus Gras, which is an American brand, and really it just means more fat in French, which is genius, so honest. There are also various other European brands of premium butter. And these typically just have a much higher proportion of butter fat than regular butters do, proportionally less water and air. So they're really delicious just to spread on bread, and they will definitely make a huge difference in your baked goods. But as a daily cooking ingredient in savory stuff, I don't think they're worth the expense. You're bound to be combining the butter with so many other ingredients that the real buttery essence is no longer the star. But any dish where butter is a major player, you might want to give these premium butters a try. Although, I have to point out, even for the butter and lemon spaghetti that I made in last week's episode, I don't know if I'd even bother using Plus Gras there, because even though there's a fair amount of butter, the lemon is so strong, you might just lose it. You'll also see butter that is called cultured butter, and this means that the cream has been let to sit out and culture sort of sour a tiny bit. It's souring and culturing in a good way, kind of like yogurt. It's set out, sort of collects all these natural little bacterial things, and it really develops a much stronger or richer flavor. Trust me, this is all a very good thing. I know it sounds a little sketchy, but and the end result is not the least bit sour, and it really makes for a delicious butter. But as with the premium, higher butterfat butters, really you don't want to use this stuff just routinely in cooking because you kind of waste what is so special about it. So save it for your bread and for your baking. Finally, if you're worried about cooking with butter because you think it's bad for you, just don't. I mean, obviously, you don't want to eat a whole stick of it every day, and every person's health situation is different, and you don't want to put tons of it in every single dish you're eating in one dinner. But if you're looking at a recipe, like the lemon spaghetti from last week, and you're thinking, ooh, 2 tablespoons of butter per serving, that seems like a lot. Honestly, I cut that down from more like 3 tablespoons of butter, as it was written in the recipe as I originally had it, and it's just not that much. And remember, cooking your own food rather than ordering takeout or eating at a restaurant, you're already getting a huge leg up in the healthy eating department. So starting from there at home, you can add a little bit of butter and it's not gonna ruin you. So you can afford to put a little bit on a side of broccoli, for instance. It is not a blanket evil. And margarine, by the way, is about 80 times worse for you. So anyway, that's all I'm going to say on the subject of health. I don't want to feel like I'm apologizing in every future episode of Cooking in Real Time for using butter. And you can trust that although I love butter, any amount I'm putting in recipes for cooking in real time, it's not gratuitous the way it might be in some restaurants who use it as a shortcut to making things taste better. I'm not using it gratuitously, and it is always well worth it. Related to this, if you're looking at a recipe that is clearly from a high-end restaurant and it calls for a shocking amount of butter, you can probably get away with using less. I mean, don't go skimping on every single recipe, as there is really no joy in this purely lean and mean kind of cooking, but feel free to exercise a little judgment when it comes to butter. So that concludes this week's episode of Cooking in Real Time. Check out the website. There's a recommendation there for a book, Jennifer McClagan's Fat Cookbook, sort of tome on every kind of fat, and there's a good chapter on butter, which can give you more detailed information than I want to bore you with here. So check that out, and of course feel free to drop me an email about any other cooking questions you might have. Stay tuned, and I'll talk to you next week.